A queer thing happened to America, and what a long, strange trip it's been, by Michael L. Brown, reviewed by Martin McGowan. A Queer Thing Happened to America is a carefully researched and very disturbing account of the development of the GLBT movement, or the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transsexual movement. From the Stonewall riots, June 1989, through the reception, June 2009, by President Obama of 300 gay activists at the White House, to its vision of the future. Brown lifts the lid on militant homosexual activism, especially in America, and uncovers an agenda that pervades every part of society. He reveals that activists have enormous power, influence, and wealth, and that they will tolerate no dissenting voice as they move relentlessly to change the world. The GLBT activism's buzzwords are tolerance, diversity, and inclusion, but there is more to these terms than meets the eye. The agenda, which Brown calls a stealth agenda, starts in the schools. In 2009, President Obama appointed Kevin Jennings, Safe Schools Czar, or Assistant Deputy Secretary for the Office of Safe and Drug-Free Schools. Jennings was founder and president of GLSEN, or the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network, an organization that seeks to end discrimination, harassment, and bullying based on sexual orientation and gender identity. How? By promoting homosexuality as normal, even as something to be celebrated in the nation's schools. Because of the activities of GLSEN, April 25 has become the annual Day of Silence, or solidarity for GLBT students. Grade school children are reading books called Heather Has Two Mommies and It's Perfectly Normal. And schools can override parents' objections to their children being taught that GLBT is normal and to be encouraged. The GLBT movement captures hearts and minds through the media. Homosexual activism rules in Hollywood as TV and movies promote GLBT as wholesome and good, and conservative Christians and ex-gays, an abomination to the GLBT movement, as evil, hateful bigots, ignorant buffoons, or hypocrites. This is no accident. GLAAD, or Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, now routinely vets all TV scripts dealing with homosexuality to make sure that the public sees only what the activists want. In fact, when CNN's Good Morning America permitted Alan Chambers of Exodus International 4 seconds to make his case that homosexuals can be changed by God's grace, GLAAD was not glad. Their 2001 resolution is to petition CNN to allow no counterpoint discussion from the anti-gay industry. The GLBT movement also influences corporate America by encouraging and enforcing diversity in the workplace. The HRC, or Human Rights Campaign, maintains a corporate equality index. What must one do to gain 100%? Offer comprehensive insurance benefits to same-sex partners, have policies for accommodating transgender employees, including special bathrooms, have gender transition or sex change guidelines, and provide company-wide diversity awareness training, to name but a few. 305 companies scored a perfect 100% in 2010, and many companies donate millions of dollars to GLBT organizations. Companies opposed to diversity can expect to be named, shamed, and threatened with boycotts. Ironically, when Brown tried to get corporate sponsors for his pro-family, pro-life event, he was rebuffed by several major firms because they promote diversity, where diversity means pro-GLBT. GLBT trumpets tolerance, but how tolerant is it? Writes Brown, If you are fiercely opposed to traditional biblical values, but in favor of same-sex marriage, you are tolerant. In fact, you have the right to call anyone who does not agree with you intolerant. You even have the right to advocate that their freedom of speech be taken away. How dare they not embrace the gay rights movement? There is a propaganda war through the schools, colleges, and media, and the GLBT movement is winning. For example, how do you measure homophobia? You use the GLSEN-approved Dorothy Riddle scale. Listed under the homophobic category are not only repulsion and pity, but tolerance and acceptance. To have a positive level of attitude, you must reach, at least, the categories of support and or admiration. Furthermore, if you dare even question the validity of homosexuality, you are a hateful person, even if you express your disagreement in the most compassionate of terms. Brown asks, why must the hate button be pushed incessantly? Are the only two options embracing homosexuality or hatred? Brown fills his book with case studies ranging from the absurd to the deeply disturbing. Take, for example, a freshman student who was brought before a school tribunal because she refused to write a letter advocating same-sex adoption. A Roman Catholic professor who was fired from a secular university for starting that, according to Roman Catholic teaching, homosexual acts are morally wrong. And a Christian elderly care home that was threatened with loss of funding and was accused of institutionalized homophobia by Brighton, UK, council because they refused the council's demand to question elderly residents every 3 months about their sexual orientation and use images of gay LGBT couples in their promotional literature. I have a few criticisms. First, because the book is self-published, most conservative publishers would not touch it with a 10-foot barge pole. The proofreading is less than rigorous, and there is no index. Second, the cover is wholly inappropriate. Discard the dust jacket with its cover as soon as you receive the book. Third, Brown, an Arminian, writes approvingly of Charles Finney. Fourth, Brown fails to address the scandal of divorce and remarriage in evangelicalism, something that has not gone unnoticed by the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transsexual movement. The argument is simple. If the churches can't accept divorced and remarried members, condemned in Scripture, why cannot they accept gay and lesbian members, also condemned in Scripture? To this, compromised evangelicalism has no answer. Brown does not even address it. Finally, some material is too explicit. While Brown has to be commended for his detailed research, one chapter in particular is so offensive that Brown has to affix a warning. That chapter is entitled Queer Theology. Many will not be able to read it. I could not. Brown has done us a service. He writes with compassion. Of course, that will not stop people from calling his book hate-filled and homophobic. To question homosexuality elicits an almost Pavlovian response today. The hate button has been pressed too often and with great success. We may not wish to study this subject, but it will not do to bury our heads in the sand. Western post-Christian society is destroying itself. Homosexuality is accepted, promoted, and celebrated. Dissenting voices are being silenced. We should expect to suffer. Legislation in Europe and America is being developed to ban hate speech. And remember, hate speech is anything perceived to be homophobic. Denominations are capitulating all around us. Just a few weeks ago, the PCUSA and the Church of Scotland took steps to allow the ordination of homosexuals. God is giving men and women over to vile affections, Romans 1, verse 26 through 28. Indeed, men and women no longer recognize that God made them male and female, Matthew 19, verse 4. The queer new world envisaged by GLBT is diametrically opposed to and will not tolerate Scripture. Nevertheless, we must not fear. Iniquity will abound, but we and our children are safe in the Savior's hand.